Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. We'd like to thank you for joining us once again as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. And we're going to pick up here in our study of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. And we started looking at verse number 5 of 1 Thessalonians 1 a couple weeks ago. And it says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." We've been looking at this issue of the gospel as the Apostle Paul has been given. And when we talk about the gospel that's been given to the Apostle Paul, that's the gospel that's laid out in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, speaking of the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures, and believing in that alone, which gives someone their salvation today. That's the gospel the Apostle Paul is speaking of. And when he starts speaking of this, you start seeing how he talks about how the gospel came unto them in these certain manners. And the first one he lays out, he starts talking about that it came not unto you in word only. That the gospel message that was given unto them was not related to just the issue of the words that were spoken. And when we look at that issue of words, and that really relates to the wisdom of man, and you see the Apostle Paul deal with some of those things related to the words that individuals speak. And here, we'll just use for an example here, 1 Thessalonians. We'll skip ahead to chapter number 2 for a moment here. We're going to see here in verse number 5, as the Apostle Paul speaking of these words, and he says, "For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness." And he starts talking about this issue of that they did not use flattering words. They did not use words that were just going to be something that the people in Thessalonica were going to find pleasing. It was an issue of the words of the gospel which were being spoken. And that whole issue of words and communication, this is something that really carries through all of Scripture about the importance of the words that are being used, because the words can be manipulated by individuals here. For example, let's go over to the book of Romans. And we see the Apostle Paul over in the book of Romans is going to start talking about some things related to the dangers of some things about what is spoken by individuals. And here in the book of Romans, let's go to chapter number 3. We're going to see here, we'll pick up in verse number 9 of Romans 3 as the Apostle Paul is going to be saying some things here. And verse 9 says, "What then, are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness." And here is the Apostle Paul, when you really look at chapters 1, 2, and 3 of the book of Romans, you see that he's laying out some things related to the condition of mankind and dealing with how man is to actually be viewed under some certain things, to come to the conclusion that all of mankind is guilty before God and needed a Savior to come in order to take care of that issue of sin. And he starts talking about the issue of the language, the words that are being used. And you see these descriptions that are being given of things that, you know, the throat is an open sepulcher. The word sepulcher talk about a tomb or a grave. So the throat of an individual, it's death. You see the tongues, it talks about deceit, lying that comes from the tongue. The poison of asps under their lips. Their mouth full of cursing and bitterness. All of these things talking about the dangerous things that come out of the mouth of an individual, and how it when it's man's wisdom that's coming out of an individual, the only things that can come along with that is death, because there's nothing good out of man. And you see this not only the Apostle Paul that says some things about the things that individuals say, you also see in Israel's program, the exact same things are being said. I want to go over to the book of James for a moment here. Let's go to James chapter number 3. And we're going to see James is going to be saying something very similar. This is one of those few times that where you can actually look at what James says and what the Apostle Paul says and say, okay, they're actually matching up with things, because the wisdom of man is a very dangerous thing. And here in the book of James, chapter number 3, we're going to start here, verse number 5. And again, it's going to be speaking of some of these issues of the words and the things that come out of an individual. Verse 5, James 3. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. And again, we have another author in the Bible speaking of the dangers of the tongue and the things that come out of the mouth of an individual, and equating it to poison and death and things that are all contrary to what the Word of God would actually do for an individual. And you see that when you really look at the things that are associated with that wisdom of man, you see that everything that goes along with man's wisdom really pulls individuals away from the truth of what God's Word actually says. Now, I want to look at a couple more passages before we start kind of putting all of this actually together here. And I want to go over to the book of Psalms for a moment. Let's go to Psalm 140. And we're going to see here in the book of Psalms something that's going to line up with what we've been actually looking at here in these last few passages related to what happens with the tongue and the things that come out of an individual. When you look at Psalm 140, this is a psalm that would have been written by David. And we're going to see here, we're going to read the first three verses of this psalm. It says, "Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man, which imagine mischiefs in their heart. Continually are they gathered together for war. They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. There's poison is under their lips, Selah." And so again, we see another reference to this issue of this, you know, the dangers of the tongue. You see the poison that comes from what's being said by this individual. And all of that really ties in with what is being said about what is the makeup, really, of a man. Now, what I want to go over here is to go over to the book of Mark for a moment. Let's go to Mark chapter number 7. And we're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ as he's speaking to the disciples and the individuals who are listening to him, he's going to say some important truths about what's the makeup of an individual is. I'm going to start here at verse number 20 of Mark chapter 7. It says, "And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." Again, we see this thing of what is truly inside of an individual. You see the Apostle Paul talk about the things of the flesh, that in his flesh dwelleth no good thing. So the natural man, what we are, there is nothing good that's inside of us. That's why you can see the what's written over in the book of Matthew. And I'm going to read Matthew chapter number 12, verse 34, which is going to really tie all of these things together here, when it says, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." Now, if you tie that together, for example, with what we read over in the book of Mark in chapter number 7, and I'm going to read that list again of what it says that's inside of a man. And it says, "And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." That's what you see in the prophets when it talks about the heart is wicked and deceitful. Because all of those things that we just read in Mark chapter 7 are inside of the individual. And then Matthew records an issue of, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if all of those things are inside of the individual that we just read over in Mark 7, describing the heart as being wicked and deceitful, that's what comes out of a man. That's what man's wisdom actually generates. That's why the Apostle Paul, when he can talk about the gospel coming unto them, it says, "It came not unto them in word only." If it came unto them in word only, there would have been a problem, because the things that come out of a man take people away from the truth of what the gospel actually would be. And you see this in, you know, when man starts to try to come up with some things about, you know, what would actually be a salvation for man. You see things of, you know, well, everyone's going to be saved. You see the things of, you know, well, it can't just be Christianity that's the only true path to going to heaven. You know, there has to be good people in all of the other religions that are out there, in an attempt to justify all these things, justifying the goodness of man rather than understanding the truth of what's contained in the Word of God. Now, individuals who even proclaim themselves to be Christian will do things to try to take away from that truth of the Word of God by adding the wisdom of man unto the Word of God. And when the wisdom of man is attempting to be added to the Word of God, you see, and I want to read something out of Mark 7. We're not going to read the whole passage here, because, you know, we don't have time to deal with all this. But what we had read the description of the man. But I want to go up a little bit to, you know, something the Lord Jesus Christ, as he was dealing with something that the Pharisees were doing, because they were adding things unto the word of God, trying to prove that they were righteous by doing all these extra things. And I just want to read here verse 13 of Mark 7, because it's the conclusion that he comes to as he's dealing with this, when he says, "Making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye." So, through their tradition, by adding things unto the word of God, they were making the word of God of none effect unto them. And what you see is that this is what individuals actually do when they twist things with related to the gospel and try to add things that are not necessarily associated with the word of God. You know, some of them sound so innocent when they actually say these things. You know, you'll have individuals who say, you know, all you know, they'll talk about the gospel and believing something, and then they'll say, "Okay, now all you have to do in order to receive your salvation is pray this prayer," and then they you know, give these words to some prayer that's going to actually give the salvation to the individual. Now, there's no verse in the scriptures that actually indicates that that would be the case. This prayer that these people are, you know, really making up, which is man's wisdom, and they're giving it to individuals and trying to take them away from the simplicity of what the gospel actually is. Taking them away from the simplicity that's contained here. I'm going to read the passage here. 1 Corinthians 15, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." That's the gospel. That's all it actually says that a person has to do, is they have to put their trust in the words that are written here on the page. They're not having to do anything else. They're not having to offer up some prayer that some man wrote to try to say that that's what's going to save an individual. And I'm sure there's people who are may even be listening to this broadcast who are saying, "Well, it's not the prayer that's actually saving them. They're, you know, they've put their trust in the gospel first, and then they're just offering up this prayer." The presentation that's given with this is that the prayer is what's actually saving the individual. And if the person is truly believing that it's not the words and the page, it's not the gospel message which is saving them, but they're putting their trust in the fact that it's the prayer that's actually going to save them, then they don't have their salvation today. And I know for some that's a pretty harsh statement to actually make, to say that some individuals actually aren't saved. But if they're not putting their trust in what 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is speaking of, then they truly don't have a salvation today. Now, here's another thing that individuals do to try to use man's wisdom to try to twist around what the gospel message is. And they'll start talking about the thing of, you know, all you have to do is ask Jesus into your heart. He's standing at the door of your heart knocking. And all you have to do is let him in. And when you do that, you're going to have your salvation. Now, when they say this, what they're actually doing with it is they're actually trying to take a verse really way out of its context from where it is. And the verse that they're actually using here is over here in the book of Revelation. And let's go to Revelation chapter number 3, to where we're going to see this passage that's being used to try to justify this idea of asking Jesus into your heart. And we're going to read here Revelation chapter number 3, verse 20, where it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." Now, that verse is what's being used. Now, when you look at this verse and you actually just take it for what the words say on the page, is it speaking about a door that's in somebody's heart? No. It's talking about the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is standing at the door, and he's writing unto, if you go up to verse 14 of this chapter, you see who he's speaking of here. It says, "Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the Father and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." And then he starts to describe the condition of this assembly at this point in time. He's talking about standing at the door of this assembly, knocking, because he's trying to judge them for their works, judging if they are actually following all of the information that's been given to them. Because you see the very next verse, which actually ties in with the context of what's going on for this local assembly. When I said the next verse, I want verse 21 of Revelation 3, when it says, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." The issue is an individual actually overcoming and being part of that kingdom program. Because when it starts speaking of the throne and that rulership, the only description that goes along with that would be the things of, you know, what's going on planet Earth in that dispensation that's it's being written about. It has nothing to do with us, the members of the body of Christ, because we're not promised a throne. Our promise is related to the fact that we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now, when we talk about this church at Thessalonica, and it's the Apostle Paul talking about how the gospel came unto them not in word only, you know, the whole issue, looking at it from man's wisdom, I want to take it to how it is that they received what the Apostle Paul was actually saying to them. Let's go back over to 1 Thessalonians. We'll go to chapter number 2 now. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, I want to read verse 13, which says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe." And we have here how it is that the individuals of this local assembly actually took the information that Paul and those that were ministering with him took this information and received it. They didn't take it as the wisdom of men. They didn't take it as, you know, this is just something that Paul's preaching that's going contrary to anything else that the word that God is doing. They took this information and they accepted the fact that this was the word of God which was being presented to them. And because they accepted these things as being the word of God, it could actually work in them. It could actually do some things to actually create some change in their life. And that change is going to be associated with that issue of when the Apostle Paul says that the gospel came not into you in word only, but he says, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. And that's how the gospel message actually his ambition. There's a power that comes through this gospel message, and it truly has an impact on the life of an individual once they've put their trust in that message. And in our next episode, we're going to start talking about that power and the impact that the gospel actually has on the life of a believer today. Now, as we close, I always like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have information related to, you know, some audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information about how to join our Sunday services by watching them on Facebook, or you can join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option, and that information is all on our website. There's also information about how to contact us. If you ever have any comments about things that you've been studying with us, if you ever have any questions about either things that we've been studying or just general questions that you have that you would like to have answered, you know, feel free to contact us at any time. We would be glad to answer those questions for you. And until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.